Stone Boy Speaks, episode 318, This Tall to Ride. Is app.net the future? Well, that's a question that Dave Weiner, who created RSS podcasting and a few other cool things, asked the internet when he posted an article on his scripting news website about that very topic. And he, his premise, from what I can see, is that he wants a hackable Twitter, right? But his main concern, which certainly app.net is, right? It's got a very open API. You can go read all the docs. You can, there's some things you can do as a user if you want to develop apps on it. Of course, you have to pay for it. But, and I think that's part of his issue, right? Is that app.net is centrally controlled by somebody. They could decide to take change the rules and make it, like Twitter or something where they, Twitter used to have a pretty open API and then they decided to do something different with it. And, here you go. You now have, now there's certain things you can't do. They've restricted the number of clients and stuff like that. And that's very true, right? I mean, app.net could change their rules and things could change, but I kind of doubt that. I mean, if you want to have something that's open and hackable and without centralized control, you're always going to have a this tall to ride problem with those services. And what that means is that the people that will participate in those networks are, the people that have the resources to run whatever server it is that they need to run or whatever, put up a web page or whatever it is they have to do to participate. And it's not going to be something as easy as going to, facebook.com and signing up. And then of course the other way you would participate is you'd be willing to pay someone else to run, whatever service it is. And then we're paying. Hey, could actually be giving you money or, agreeing to view ads. And, email basically works on the same model, right? And email's been around for a long, long time. Not everybody's running mail servers, but everybody that participates in email is, either paying somebody else to do it or they are, or they're doing it themselves. If you're using Gmail or anything like that, you're probably paying with, by watching ads or seeing ads or you're paying your ISP or you're getting it as part of your employment or whatever, right? I mean, email works in that model and, DNS, which everything else, every internet service relies on is kind of the same way, right? Most people don't operate their own DNS servers. And DNS is probably, centrally managed. Actually, it is centrally managed, right? So, but it's a fairly decentralized model and everybody, sort of agrees on how it operates. But you still have to register your domain with, the registrars and stuff. That's actually a closed model, right? To an extent, because there's only so many domain registrars, but there's you can run your own DNS server, but you can't register, you have to get people to agree to take your domain, which means you're playing by somebody else's rules. But, in any way, if we want to have a social network that, it's basically decentralized that normal people can use and participate in. I mean, it has to be something that's like, you go to the store and you buy something and you're done, right? It has to be something very simple, right? It's kind of like, joining the, being an iPhone user, right? And using iMessage, right? You buy it, you're done, right? It's, people willing to pay that one time fee to use it or whatever, that's fine, right? And that's, the services like that have to be, it has to be something really simple that people don't have to, there's almost no friction, right? And for, a lot of these decentralized open services, they haven't been able to make that the case yet. They haven't been able to figure out a way to make it so that there's, the barrier to entry is low. And obviously there has to be a reason for somebody to want to do it, right? I mean, those services cost money, right? Even if you fire up an Amazon instance and run whatever service it is, that still costs money, right? I mean, there's also the time and such to do it. And, if it's not something that normal people are going to want to do, right? You can barely get people to sign up for some of these services. It has to be they can operate it with their web browser or their mobile phone. And if they can't do that, then they're not going to participate. Now, app.net kind of takes this model a little differently, right? Whereas most of the, you know, like Twitter and Facebook, they started by growing their user base and then bringing in advertisers. You know, app.net is essentially building a utility, a social platform or utility that you can build other things on top of. And so, and they've aligned their incentives toward developers, right? They have to have developers pay them to want to develop on the service. And there has to be users that are actually using that platform, right? And so there has to be enough value for both developers and users to give app.net money for app.net to be successful. And, they're going to have slower growth as a result of that. And yeah, they've tried to increase the user base by going with a freemium model, which is fine. And I think then certainly Dropbox has been fairly successful doing that. In the long run, ADN will only succeed if they can convince enough developers and enough users to pay the money. And, you know, and if they change the rules, right? I mean, everybody who's paid for app.net has sort of bought into the ethos that we're trying to build something better than Twitter and Facebook. And, if they decide to change the rules in a bad way, we vote with our dollars and we go somewhere else. We don't have that kind of leverage as users with Twitter and Facebook. We do with app.net because they've set it up that way. And so they don't necessarily have to listen. And yes, they have venture capital and those guys might have a little bit more of a say now. But if there's no users using the service and there's no developers developing stuff for the service, there's not going to be anything there for the VCs, right? So I'm less concerned that the VCs are going to ruin it. Is it a possibility? Well, sure, of course it's a possibility. But, I'm willing to back the concept, which is why I'm a paid member, and I know other people, and some are developers and some are users, and they've also renewed their subscription, and some people are of course concerned about the future of the service. Of course I am too, but at the end of the day I think let's say I'm voting with my dollars and saying yes, I think this is a great concept. I'm going to continue to back it as long as it makes sense to do so. And so is it the future? I don't know. I mean, I'm optimistic about its future. Will it succeed? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. However, it's definitely different from Twitter and Facebook and other stuff that's out there. And, for that basis alone, and even just the year I've been on it, I've met some great people. I've gotten some tremendous value out of it. And so it's been worth the money for me. It's also been nice to not, at least on one of the social apps I use, not see ads. And, that's a nice thing. So, as I say, is it the future? Well, let's say it's a future I'm buying into. And, we'll see where it goes. And if it succeeds, it succeeds. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. You can find all of the past episodes and all of the ways to contact me on the web at phoneboy.com/PS.